I've seen war, Brightness. I'm a soldier. Problem is, ideals have expanded my focus. I can't help but see the common men among the enemy. They're not monsters. Dalinar raised a hand to stop Yasna's reply.
Your concerns do you credit, Captain, Dalinar said, and your reports have been exceptionally timely. Do you honestly see a chance for an accommodation here?
I don't know, sir. Even the common parchmen are furious at what was done to them.
I can't afford to stay my hand from war, Dalinar said. Everything you say is right, but it is also nothing new. I have never gone to battle where some poor fools on either side, men who did not want to be there in the first place, weren't going to bear the brunt of the pain.
Maybe, Kaladin said. That should make you reconsider those other wars rather than using them to justify this one.
Heroes of presents The Storm Pod, a Stormlight Archive podcast. Book 3, Oathbringer.
This is just a quick spoiler warning for chapters 39 and 40 of Oathbringer. If you haven't caught up on your reading or you've picked the wrong episode, make sure that you are all caught up and that you've picked the right episode. We wouldn't want you to be spoiled. We are going to be doing two chapters today, so this will be fun. I'm really excited for Jack to read. He's already read them, but I'm just excited for him to read out loud the letter that the that Moraes gives to Shallan. Man, it's so good. Anyways, I really hope that you are all caught up in everything, and I hope that you enjoy the episode. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Q, and I just gave him a letter that is going to blow his fucking mind. It's Jack. What's up, dude?
How are you doing?
I'm excited, man. It's been like, what, 3 weeks since we've recorded?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we've been, with Easter and schedules and stuff, it's been a while. So, yeah,
yes, but it has been a while.
I'm dude, I'm so excited to be sitting here in this very constrained little closet that I'm in, seeing your beautiful face, ready to do this recording, man. I'm so excited.
I'm enjoying your nice spring purpley shirt that you're wearing.
Oh, I put on my one of my golf shirts today because I felt it was a little airy.
Nice.
Yeah, I might get back into golf this summer.
You're rocking the mauve.
I am.
You rocking
a two-tone mauve, not just mauve, but two-tone mauve. Yeah.
That van is two-tone.
She is. Nice. She is. Yeah.
This is exciting. Chapter 39 notes. Well, first of all, we get some really delicious stuff here with Shallan.
Yeah.
With Vale.
Mm-hmm. In the second chapter. Yeah.
Referring to the other character while being the other character.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Yeah. It's so great.
It's like these personalities are like separating themselves now from each other, and they're becoming wholly themselves. Like,
and in the other chapter, so notes is the first one. I forget what the other one's called. One sec.
Questions, peaks and inferences.
And inferences. So questions, peaks. So chapter 40 in there, I think it is. We get, I think, another crossover between the characters. Like, she's putting on her Kaladin pants. She's training.
Yeah.
Like, Vale wants, Gaz and Vatha.
She realizes, wait a minute, I have need of these men.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's training them to be more than what they are.
Right.
To make them better, or to make them something that, I don't know. It's just, it speaks to me of Kaladin, how we turn Bridge 4 into something. So Vale is exhibiting those qualities. And then the mystery of Moraes still permeates. I don't know. It's a delicious chapter.
She used them quite well to be able to find the Rhaeshafir duplicate that was like doing the murders. And it's like, that was like the first time, like, oh, you know what? We all actually worked really well together
we need to turn these men into like spies.
Right.
And like
right.
that could be how we use them. It's really cool. My favorite part of these two chapters though is that letter.
The letter from Erase?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so juicy, man. I can't wait till you read it out loud. I read it and then I'm like, as soon as I finished reading it, I'm like, I can't wait till Jack reads it out loud to me.
Here we go. We're jumping in chapter 39, notes. Mm-hmm. The beginning is no good can come of two shards settling in one location. It was agreed that we would not interfere with one another. And it disappoints me that so few of the shards have kept to this original agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. That gives.
So are we talking about the shards as in the splintering of the Almighty, basically?
I don't know. I can't really answer that question truthfully with any accuracy right now, because we don't really know much.
No good can come of two shards settling in one location.
Right.
Two shards. It was agreed that we would not interfere with one another.
So the writer...
And so few have kept... Huh, that's interesting. That's almost inferring that there's some kind of a, you know...
alliance of some kind, or like...
Dichotomous... Well, just like an antagonistic relationship between two, if two shards can't be in one place,
right?
That appears to be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was agreed that we would not interfere with one another, so that we would stay apart.
Right.
This is social distancing, guys.
It is. That's what we're doing. This is divine social distancing, I think.
This is divine. So,
the writer, is referring to themselves as a shard.
Right.
And that they are writing to one potentially as well. We agreed we would not interfere. It was agreed that we would not interfere with one another.
Right.
Meaning that the person who's writing it is saying that they are a shard. Whatever that means, whatever shard means, we're not even really sure. Oh, it means Jack's got goosebumps is what it means. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not sure what that term is in reference to. We know we have shard blades.
I don't really know.
Shard armor. You know that there is the next novella is called Dawn Shards.
The Dawn Shards, yeah.
Yeah, or Dawn Shard.
But don't we also know that the Almighty was broken up into pieces? Don't we know that?
Yeah, that was one of the things that Syl said, but I don't know if she ever referred to those pieces as shards. It's quite the... it's a term that is very important in this whole Cosmere. And so...
What, the shards?
Or shards,
okay.
Yeah.
And capitalized. Yeah.
And this is capital... Exactly, this is capital shards. Mm-hmm. It's not like shard blade, which is... like lowercase. This is like the difference between lower C and big C when you say church. A church, the church. So there's a difference here between the little s and big s. And this is a big s. So I'm not sure if Syl was talking about these shards when she talked about the Almighty
splintering up. Okay.
I don't know if she ever referred to those pieces as shards. And if she did, it'd be interesting to find out if it was with a little s or a big s, because that is a big difference, I think.
Shallan can take notes for us, says Yasna. Shallan was looking up from her notebook. She'd settled against the tile-covered wall, sitting on the floor in her blue hava, and had intended to spend the meeting doing sketches. It had been over a week since her recovery and subsequent meeting with Yasna at the Crystal Pillar. Shallan was feeling better and better at the same time, less and less like herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's neat. She's feeling better and better, but less and less like herself.
Like she's changing.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
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 It's a really good way of putting it.
That she's transformed, or that she's changing?
That she's just becoming a new person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. You were worried, too. You were worried before
because one could, it's like multiple personalities. One could be the dominant, and then that one that you know you have to say goodbye to, it vanishes.
Does it feel like that to you? Does it feel like DID?
I don't pretend to know, I don't really know the... I couldn't speak intelligently on multiple personalities. I just, right. I feel
I think it's like disassociative. Hold on, let me just quickly fact check this.
I think that there are multiple personalities going on here with Shallan, and my
disassociative
concern is,
identity disorder is the new, more up to date term for
people.
Yeah, who deal with this mental health condition
disorder.
Yeah, disassociative identity disorder. Okay. Just for the record, so we say the right thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, for sure. So yeah, I'm still fascinated by it all. Mm-hmm. As long as there is some kind of an equilibrium that can be maintained between Vale mm-hmm. and Shallan and any other characters she takes on.
Yeah.
That'll be fascinating, but I also think that it's adding more, what would you say? It makes Shallan's bridge heavier.
Right.
In many ways.
For sure. It's funny because it could be DID, but it also could be magic. You know what I mean? Like, it could not necessarily be mental health that's happening to her, but it could be something very intrinsically magical to this power that she has, this ability to be able to create characters mean to disregard the mental health aspect of it. I'm just saying that right now, what we're reading, we don't really have enough information to make a call either or, because what she could be experiencing could be very normal for light weavers who create these personalities, right? Mm-hmm. Or
she's
it could be very
like...
well that it's just Shallan who is suffering major mental health, and she's got DID, and that's is how it's coming out with her powers. So one of those two things are both possible right now, and I find that very fascinating.
It can be a number of things in terms of Shallan's, like, so having these other personalities could be a mechanism by which Shallan gets things done.
Right.
Because she can't do it as Shallan, mm-hmm. so she invents Vale to accomplish X.
Right.
She invents someone else.
She can't fight with her Shardblade, so she invents Radiant. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it could just be like just that. Like it almost has like
utility,
like a practical nature to it. Yeah. But I like where you're going with the potential magic part of it, but also when you said that, it's almost like she's like an author within the story that can create characters.
Right.
So it's like she has like this kind of power
to be able to just,
you know,
create.
I mean? Like,
these really like, fleshed out living,
like almost
beings.
Like breaking the fourth wall type stuff.
Almost,
like where she's create like it's not Sanderson doing it.
Right.
It's Shallan doing it, creating new characters.
Yeah,
like,
without
know,
it's, that's a mental mind fuck. Because imagine he's reading his draft and he's like, "I didn't write that."
Yeah, I didn't.
And then Shallan's like, "I did it myself." You know what I mean? Like in the story.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Move over, Mister.
It's
Mr.
all
Sanderson.
At this point in the story. It's all so interesting, and I'm
really
excited for
it.
You to see where it goes.
Okay,
so.
Let's keep at it. All right, so Shallan was feeling better, less like herself. Today, Dalinar had called a meeting of his Radiance, and Yasna had suggested the basement rooms of the tower because they were so well secured. She was incredibly worried about being spied on.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that we get the spy episode here. And Yasna is very, very concerned about it,
Yeah, and one of Shallan's personalities, or one of her disguises, is about to create a whole network of spies.
Right. It's funny that she's concerned about it, and within her midst is Shallan, or rather is Vale the spy.
Right.
Because really, Vale is able to collect everything Shallan collects.
Right.
That would be really interesting, though, if it wasn't the case, where the memories are different.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because that would be
so far
complex.
Vale has wanted the same things as Shallan has wanted. So there's no need to be fearful.
No,
like they're on the same side at the very least. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it stays that way.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. Being spied upon, the rows of dust had been removed from the library floor. Navani's flock of scholars had carefully cataloged every splinter. The emptiness served only to underscore the absence of the information they'd hoped to find.
Mm-hmm.
I love this, mining for information. Now everyone was looking at her. Notes? Shallan asked. She barely had been following the conversation. We could call for Brightness to shove. So far, it was a small group. The Blackthorn, Navani, and their core Surgebinders. Yasna, Renarin, Shallan, and Kaladin Stormblessed, the Flying Bridgemen. Adolin and Elikar were away, visiting Vedinar, to survey the military capacities of Teravangian's army. And Milata was working the Oathgate for them.
Mm-hmm.
I like this assembly.
Yeah.
This is the band getting together, right? I know, and I love Kaladin like leaning up against his pose, leaning against the stone pillar or something.
Yeah, Kaladin's I'm the lead singer of this band, and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's the melancholy in the infinite. Oh, I love it. Delicious. No need to call in another scribe, says Yasna. We covered shorthand in your training, Shallan. I'd see how well you've retained the skill. Be fastidious. We will need to report to my brother what we determine here. I love that that Yasna is keeping Shallan in check. I don't know what's going to happen between these two characters, but mm-hmm. Shallan is trying to evade being treated like a child.
Right.
She doesn't want to be, and yet she had the opportunity in Yasna's absence, but now we're back to her being told what to do. Take notes. I'm not letting you go.
Right.
You're still my ward. You know, just because you're a Radiant, this does not change the dynamic. I don't know. It seems interesting that despite Shallan's best efforts, even in the creation of new characters, new versions of herself, she still can't escape being treated like the little girl who was told to be hidden.
Right. Yeah, I feel for her here because, like, everyone here is supposed to be on the same footing, right? A collection of Radiants. Yeah. We're all new to this. And then, right. Like, we're all sitting at the table together, like, and then Shallan's being relegated to taking the notes. Like, she's the secretary of the meeting. Like, I don't know.
I can't... Do you think that... Maybe Yasna here is trying to be like the older sister, do you think?
Maybe.
Or the mother?
She says to her a little later that there is still a need for you to be my ward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you're not done with that. Yasna needs too. Mm-hmm. Like Yasna doesn't have an older sister or a younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yasna has her mother, but Shallan doesn't.
Yasna is Shania Twain right now. Shallan doesn't impress her much.
Please elaborate. What's that?
You don't impress me much.
Oh, you don't impress.
Oh, you dated Brad Pitt? Oh, big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah. That's what it is. Like, it's sure you're a Radiant, but you're still not a scholar yet. I think that's what she says to her later. You're not an actual scholar yet.
You're not an actual scholar.
And if
scholar.
You're still studying to be a scholar, you still have work to do.
Okay, so the rest of them had settled into a group of chairs, except for Kaladin, who stood leaning against the wall, looming like a thundercloud.
Mm-hmm.
He had killed Helorin, her brother. The emotion of that peaked out, but Shallan smothered it, stuffing it into the back of her mind.
Yeah.
Kaladin wasn't to be blamed for that. He'd just been defending his Bright Lord. I hope that Shallan can hang on to this position. She stood up, feeling like a chastened child. The weight of their stares prodded her to walk over and take a seat beside Yasna, with her pad open and pencil ready. So, Kaladin says, according to the Stormfather, not only is the Almighty dead, but he condemned 10 people to an eternity of torture. We call them heralds, and they're not only traitors to their oaths, they're probably also mad. We had one of them in our custody, likely the maddest of the lot, but we lost him in the turmoil of getting everyone to Urithiru. In short, everyone who might have been able to help us is crazy, dead, a traitor, or some combination of the three. He folds his arms, figures.
So this is nice here because the last chapter, the Stormfather gave us this huge info dump to Dalinar and Navani about what was going on with Damnation, the Heralds, just like the Spren and all that stuff, right? So yep. It sounds like that information has reached all these people at this meeting. So Kaladin is kind of just like reiterating, we all know that information now. None of us will be surprised by the stuff that you learned last chapter, because that information has been shared with all of us. So he's like summating it, kind of like, okay, in summary, this is what we know. And it
in
sucks.
Summary, in summary, the heralds are traitors, broke their oaths, and by the way, they're also crazy.
They're also all mad.
Yeah, they're also all mad. Yasna glanced at Shallan, and she sighed, then recorded a summary of what he'd said, even though it was already a summary. So what do we do with this knowledge? Renarin asks, leaning forward. We must curb the Voidbringer assault, Yasna says. We can't let them secure too great a foothold. Kaladin says, the Parshmen aren't our enemies. Shallan glanced at him. There was something about that wavy dark hair, that grim expression. He was always serious, always solemn, and so tense. Like he had to be strict with himself to contain his passion. Okay, two words here with this little bit. This is Shallan, wavy hair. What was the other, the wavy hair, grim expression, always serious, always solemn, so tense. And then the word passion. I don't know. I've always thought there's something in Shallan that digs Kaladin.
She likes the good boys, but she also likes the bad boys.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's just the language is specific. It definitely leans towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're our enemies, Yasna says. Of course, they're our enemies. So Yasna differing here with Kaladin.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the process of conquering the world. Even if your report indicates they aren't as immediately destructive as we feared, they are still an enormous threat. They just want to live better lives, Kaladin says. I can believe that the common Parshmen have such a simple motive, but their leaders, they will pursue our extinction. Interesting. Very convinced, Yasna, on this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just going back to the whole Yasna dynamic with Shallan, we've talked about that potentially, you know, Yasna might be, you know, interested in Shallan.
Yeah, that right? At the very least, it's kind of the other way around, that Shallan might have complicated feelings about Yasna.
Uh-huh.
It's been brought to my attention more online since we've talked about it that that Yasna seems to exhibit more asexual tendencies, that she is not as interested in those things at all.
That's true.
And that the things that we might have been reading off the page might have been some of this admiration and stuff from Shallan towards Yasna. I mean, we literally do it when we read about Yasna. You know, she's amazing, and we fall for her, right? So it makes sense that even like a Shallan, who is just like her mentee, would also feel those feelings. And so maybe that's where we're reading into it a little bit.
I think you're right. So after this, Navani agrees with her daughter.
Right.
She says, agreed. They were born out of a twisted thirst to destroy humankind. So Navani and Yasna on the same page here. The Parshmen are the key, Yasna continues. Looking over what you've discovered, it seems that all Parshmen can bond with ordinary Spren as part of their natural life cycle.
Which is what we saw with the Parshendi.
Right.
You want to become nimble form, you bond with a Spren. You want to become mate form, you bond with a different kind of Spren. You want to be war form, you bond with a different Spren. But all of those are normal, natural life cycle things for those people.
And what we've been calling Voidbringers are instead a combination of a Parshman with some kind of hostile Spren or spirit.
Right.
And a whole different
category of Spren. The ones that were trapped in Damnation.
Right, and Dalinar says, the Fused.
Right.
Great, says Kaladin. Fine, let's fight them then. Why do the common folk have to get crushed in the process? Yasna says, perhaps you should visit my uncle's vision and see for yourself the consequences of a soft heart. First-hand witness of a desolation might change your perspective. I like how she uses the perspective here. It reminds me of, like, that's... words of radiance coming in here. It's like, so she's coming from the previous book. Like, don't forget your perspective, Kaladin.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, don't forget what Sean and Jack talked about.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I've seen war, Brightness. I'm a soldier. Problem is, ideals have expanded my focus. I can't help but see the common men among the enemy. They're not monsters. I love Kaladin's response. Like, his responses to Yasna are measured and...
It's funny.
I think he...
We wanted the band together, and now, are we regretting it? Like, are we regretting it?
I'm not regretting it.
I
want them to work it out. Just, you know, just keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. Don't let the conversation end.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, it's like, just, you know, it's what going. You said before, right? Yasna had these you know, written these papers about how she thought the Parshmen were the Voidbringers, and you were like, you said, I think it's more complicated than that. You're like, I don't know why, but I feel like it's more complicated than that.
Yeah,
and then
I always
Kaladin discovers why it's more complicated than that, because
there are
actual people behind those words that when you say Voidbringers, are actual people trying to live life, right?
Yeah.
And so now those two things are kind of head to head. Here, those two theories are coming to battle. So,
Dalinar raises a hand to stop Yasna's reply. That's funny because he's almost like anticipating that Yasna's about to tongue lash Kaladin here.
Yeah, he knows.
Like, okay,
he knows
his
niece. Yeah,
I know my niece. I've got to keep this band together because if I let Yasna respond now, Kaladin's out the door.
Yeah.
Dalinar says, your concern does you credit, Captain, and your reports have been exceptionally timely. But do you honestly see a chance for an accommodation here? I don't know, sir. Even the common Parshmen are furious at what was done to them. Dalinar says, I can't afford to stay my hand from war. Everything you say is right, but it is also nothing new. I have never gone to battle where some poor fools on either side, men who didn't want to be there in the first place, weren't going to bear the brunt of the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, Kaladin says, that should make you reconsider those other wars rather than using them to justify this one.
That's a highlight right there.
Oh, are you kidding? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's also Buzzkill Joe's highlight. He wrote it in his info dump notes.
Oh, did he?
This is
okay,
like his favorite line of the book, or favorite line of the chapter.
Absolutely. And it's so funny how Dalinar is stopping Yasna from doing a tongue lash,
mm-hmm.
and it's Kaladin that delivers one.
Right, right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how Shallan's breath caught, like...
Breath caught.
Like, he deigned say that to Dalinar kind of thing.
Do you deign, sir?
Yeah, this just became Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah, Kaladin just deigned. I think I like it when Kaladin. I like it when Kaladin deigns.
I like it when Kaladin starts just quoting Dane Cook stand up. He's all like, he's like, I will protect those who have itchy assholes. That's the
you've been deigned.
You've been deigned.
Yeah, he's a good deigner, this Kaladin. I think Yasna though could give him a run for the money on the deigning.
Yeah.
Okay. Shallan's breath caught. Yeah, I like that too. It didn't seem the sort of thing that you said to the Blackthorn. I agree. Ooh. Interesting that she says the Blackthorn.
Yeah.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
Would that it were so simple, Captain, Dalinar says. Let me say this. If we can be certain of one thing, it is the morality of defending our homeland. I don't ask you to go to war idly, but I will ask you to protect.
Right.
Isn't it great how careful his words are, knowing exactly what to say to Kaladin?
Yeah.
To protect.
Well, his ideals. He knows his ideals, probably, right? So, yeah, he's picking them very, very carefully here.
Right.
Yeah, it's very smart.
Alethkar is besieged. The men doing it might be innocents, but they are controlled by those who are evil. Kaladin nods slowly.
Yeah, he's like, this is making more sense to me now. This is what I'm talking about, yeah.
The king has asked my help in opening the Oath Gate. I've agreed to give it to him. Once we secure our homeland, Dalinar says, I promise to do something I'd never have contemplated before hearing your reports. I'll seek to negotiate, and I'll see if there is some way out of this that doesn't involve smashing our armies together. Mm-hmm. Negotiate. Yasna says, Uncle, these creatures are crafty, ancient, and angry. They've spent millennia torturing the heralds just to return and seek our destruction. We'll see, Dalinar says. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to contact anyone in the city mm-hmm. with the visions. The Stormfather has found Kolinar to be a dark spot.
So, him. No span reads are in and out of Kolinar.
Right.
And he can't reach anyone through dreams, through the visions.
Right. Right.
So there is definitely something more than just occupation and riots that are happening in that city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Adolin and Elokar are in
They went to the Yaakoved capital city, Vaidenar, to go inspect the troops there.
Gotcha.
And Teravangian's okay. Radiant Mulatto went with them because she's the one who's using the Oath Gate. Because neither of those guys can use the Oath Gate, right? So.
Right. Navani nods and comes in here. That seems, unfortunately, to coordinate with the failure of the span reeds in the city. Captain Kaladin's report confirms what our last notes from the city said. I like this. We get our little title here mm-hmm. with these notes. The enemy is mobilizing for an assault on the capital. We can't know what the city's status will be once our strike force arrives. You might have to infiltrate an occupied city, Captain. Renarin comes in here and says, please send that it isn't so. Whispering, his eyes are down. How many would have died on those walls fighting nightmares? What do you think here with Renarin? This interjection.
It is really hard to extrapolate anything that he says because we don't know. We've talked about this before. We don't know what Renarin knows and what he doesn't know. Because everyone at this meeting should have the same amount of information. But it is very possible that Renarin has more information that he's not sharing because of this potential ability to see the future.
Yeah.
And it is literally the X factor in this whole thing.
Please send that it isn't so. He whispers this with eyes down. How many would have died on those walls fighting nightmares?
Mm-hmm. Like he's already maybe seen people in Kolinar fighting off the Voidbringers. Like he's already... Like it's almost like he's already seen it,
right? But is he what I took from this is he basically saying to Kaladin and to the others like, don't send your strike force, don't go.
Maybe what he's saying is that he hasn't seen others doing it. Maybe he's seen them already there,
already
fighting nightmares
fail.
On the walls.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's Kaladin? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we get that answer as to whether or not they're still going.
As far as we know, at the end of these two chapters, he's still going. Kaladin is still going to take Elokar.
He's still going
to
go.
Yeah, and a small strike force to the capital.
Because it seems like Renarin is saying, "Don't here."
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what I took from it. I don't know if I'm right, but that's what I took from it. And it's funny how they just dismiss him because Yasna just keeps going here.
It sounds like he's like, talking about what has been. But because we know the character as a reader, we have to assume that he's talking about what will be, what could be.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
But they don't know. They don't know that. Right?
No.
They're also doing the thing that they should never do, which is overlook him. He's been overlooked his entire life. And they're still his, you know, like his dad, his aunt, his, you know, like the people who are closest to him. Should know better by now. You know what I mean? It's really, really interesting, dude. I one of my favorite things to discuss with you is the Renarin stuff, and I can't wait for more of it to come out because it's just it's so cool.
Well, there's clearly something going on with this character, and it's fun to try to read into it. But that's all I managed to read into what he's saying.
I love it.
But
I love
Yasna,
it. Keep reading
Yasna
into
continues.
It.
What's that?
Keep reading into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yasna says, we need more information. Captain Kaladin, how many people can you take with you to Alethkar? I plan to fly at the front of a storm, Kaladin says, like I did returning to Urithiru. It's a bumpy ride, but maybe I can fly over the top of the winds. I need to test it anyway. I think I could bring a small group. You won't need a large force, Dalinar says. You and a few of your best squires. I'd send Adolin with you too, so you have another shardbearer in an emergency. Six, perhaps. You and three of your men, the king, Adolin, get past the enemy, sneak into the palace, and activate the Oathgate.
Yo, dude, not just activate the Oathgate, activate bromance. Adolin and
power.
Adolin and Kaladin going on a mission together, dude. Let's get to that. Let's skip the whole fucking book. Let's get to that chapter right now.
can we do that?
We probably can.
Yeah. Let's hop around, please.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, wicked.
Yeah.
This is Mission Impossible. It's amazing.
Yeah. Let's just hope that Adolin is not Emilio.
Oh yeah,
we've mentioned Emilio before on the show. Let's make sure that he's not Emilio. Yeah, elevator deaths are never fun.
I wish that Emilio had been a part of that team a little longer.
Emilio.
All right. Okay, so awesome. Get past the enemy. This is great. I love this little mission that's described.
Me too, man.
No, it's simple. It's really, I don't know. It's classic.
It's great.
It's wonderful. Pardon if this is out of line, Kaladin says, but Elokar himself is the odd one. Why not just send me and Adolin? The king will probably slow us down. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the truth, though. He's saying the truth.
It is. The king needs to go for personal reasons. Will there be a problem between you? I'll do what is right, regardless of my feelings, sir. And I might be beyond those feelings anyway now. Yasna says, this is too small. Yasna mumbles. Shallan started and glanced at her. Too small? It's not ambitious enough, Yasna says. By the Stormfather's explanation, the Fused are immortal. Nothing stops their rebirth, now that the Heralds have failed. This is our real problem.
Mm-hmm.
Our enemy has a near endless supply of Parshmen bodies to inhabit. And judging by what the good captain has confirmed through experience, these Fused can access some kind of surge binding. How do we fight against that? Shallan looked up from her notepad, glancing towards the others in the room. Renarin still leaned forward, his hands clasped, and his eyes were on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Navani, I think that just in and of itself, he's not staring at a floor.
No.
He's experiencing something else.
Maybe.
He's seeing
I hope
something
so.
Else.
Yeah, I hope so.
Navani and Dalinar were sharing a look. Kaladin continued to lean against the wall, arms folded. Well, Dalinar says finally, we'll have to take this one goal at a time. First, Kolinar. Pardon, Uncle, while I don't disagree with that first step, now is not the time to think only of the immediate future. If we are to avoid a desolation that breaks society, then we'll need to use the past as our guide. And make a plan. She's right, Renarin whispers. We're facing something that killed the Almighty himself. We fight terrors that break the minds of men and ruin their souls. We can't think small. He ran his hands through his hair, which was marked by less yellow than his brother's. Almighty, we have to think big. But can we take it all in without going mad ourselves? I wonder if he's speaking directly to the Almighty right there.
Hmm.
Because think of it. The first word there is capitalized. Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think big.
Well, the Almighty Almighty should always be capitalized because it's referring to God.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, here he is, hands clasped, staring at the... He's praying.
Looks like a little bit, for sure.
Well, what do you think?
I think the most important part of what he says here is, but can we take it all in without going mad ourselves? Look at the last batch of people who try to do something about it. The Heralds. They're all fucking mad now.
Yeah, true enough.
How do we not lose ourselves in trying to fight this fight? And I think he's talking specifically about himself. How do I not go mad? With what I know, or with what I will know.
Maybe you have to work with an agent who's already mad.
Maybe.
Like wit. Like
maybe, bro, maybe.
Dalinar takes a deep breath. Yasna, you have a suggestion of where to start this plan? Yes, actually. The answer is obvious. We need to find the heralds. Kaladin nodded in agreement. And then, we need to kill them. What? Kaladin demanded. Woman, are you insane? I love that, like, he is starting to agree with her for once,
he's
leaning
like,
up
yeah,
against
we
the
should
wall.
Find them.
And then, we need to kill them. What? Like, I just think that's so awesome. It's yeah. great. The Stormfather laid it out, Yasna says. The heralds have made a pact, or had made a pact, and when they died, their souls traveled to damnation and trapped the spirits of the Voidbringers, preventing them from returning. Yeah, and then the heralds were tortured until they broke. The Stormfather said their pact was weakened, but did not say it was destroyed. Mm-hmm. I suggest that we at least see if one of them is willing to return to damnation, and perhaps they can still prevent the spirits of the enemy from being reborn. It's either that, or we completely exterminate the Parshmen so that their enemy has no hosts. In the face of such an atrocity, I would consider the sacrifice of one or more heralds to be a small price.
She makes sense
Storms.
Here. She's making a little bit of sense.
She does make sense here, but here, okay, I have it in my notes here that, like, one of the questions I want to ask you is,
right?
Why are the Parshmen the only potential host? What makes the Parshmen unique that we've read so far in this story
mm-hmm.
that would preclude or prevent?
I think at this point we don't know that it's not possible with other people,
right?
But that
right.
I think what makes them especially vulnerable, let's say, to these ancient Spren is their gem hearts.
Right.
Because
okay.
the Parshmen have gems for hearts,
yeah.
like the Chasm Fiends do. And then a Spren can go and inhabit that and physically change them and make them into something that they weren't
right.
before. And I think that's
right.
what makes them, maybe not a perfect candidate, but like I said, more vulnerable to it.
Well, maybe others in Roshar can have their hearts changed,
maybe.
So to speak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like metaphorically, I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, there's no
because I've said to you, like that's the thing that I've been curious about as well with the sort of the way that the Voidspren
mm-hmm.
inhabit the Parshmen, and could they
turn them into
others?
Void bringers? Can others other than Parshmen or listeners, I guess, as they're
right.
normally known,
be compromised?
Yeah,
yes.
Can they be turned into something
right.
monstrous as well?
Storms, Kaladin says, have you no sympathy? I have plenty, Bridgman. Fortunately, I temper it with logic. Perhaps you should consider acquiring some at a future date. Listen, Brightness, Kaladin began. Enough, Captain, Dalinar interrupts. He gave Yasna a glance. Both of them fell quiet, Yasna, without so much as a peep. Shallan had never seen her respond to someone with the respect that she gave Dalinar. Dude, I'm telling you, without a peep. Remember, I've talked
yep.
to you about this whole Dalinar Yasna
mm-hmm.
daughter kind of thing.
Right.
This is a little, could be a sliver of that example. Now, I think that you've also talked me out of this whole thing, haven't you?
Like, I think so. Yeah, I've tried to.
You did.
I've tried.
Okay, so maybe I'm still clinging on to straw.
There's no.
Okay,
there's
fine.
No evidence of it. But
I still
okay. I don't want you to like stop thinking about it because I like it. It's good. It's good for
well,
our conversation. It's good for
without
you
so
to...
much as a peep.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. There's something about the idea that the passion between Navani and Dalinar could not be contained. They did get together while she was with Gavilar,
mm-hmm.
had the baby, and couldn't tell his brother. You know, like. I don't know.
Yeah, the only way that this works is if somehow Dalinar also lost his memories of that. Because he lost his memories of his wife, Evie. But if he also lost his memories of any, like, physical contact with Navani.
Well, does he remember any memories? Is the loss of memory about a person or about a time?
Concentric to Evie.
Hmm.
Though we have not seen, they have not shown us when Dalinar makes the deal. So that could change. But so far as we know, it's only Evie.
And it could also be this, that Navani and Dalinar have just made a secret. Maybe he's kept to it.
That's very possible, and they just haven't talked to us about it. The other thing that I do want to mention is that Dalinar is Yasna's dad.
Yeah,
he's married to Navani. He is her stepfather now.
Yeah.
And he's also her well-respected uncle.
Right.
Right?
Right.
She loves him. She loves him as a father, even before they got married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's great.
So the biological element there doesn't necessarily matter as much.
Right. I love that even more. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. That's really great.
I like it when I become a highlight.
That's a highlight. Honestly, for me, that's great because I keep trying to think of these little ways that it can be, you know, complicated and, but it's right staring you in the face. He's married to her now. He is her father figure, always has been.
Yeah.
Uncle, like a transition from uncle to stepfather.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yasna, Dalinar says, even if the Pact of the Herald still holds, we can't know that they'd stay in Damnation or the mechanics for locking away the Voidbringers there. That said, locating them seems like an excellent first step. They must know much that can greatly assist us. I will leave it to you, Yasna, to plan out how to accomplish that. What of the Unmade? Renarin asks. There will be others, like the creature we found down here. So he's not even talking to them.
No, he's having a completely different conversation here.
He is. I'm convinced.
What do you have to say about that? I love it. Even if it's not true, I love the read of it. I just love your read of this.
What of the Unmade? Will there be other... Navani has been researching them, Dalinar says. You know, I know that they're responding to Renarin. I get that. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
Because he's there and he's saying things, but it just could be... It could be that complex that he's saying things and not speaking to them.
Right.
He's actually talking to something or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Navani has been researching them, Dalinar says. We need to go even further, Uncle. We need to watch the movements of the Voidbringers. Our only hope is to defeat their armies so soundly that even if their leaders are constantly reborn, they lack the manpower to overwhelm us. Protecting Alethkar, Kaladin says, doesn't have to mean completely crushing the Parshmen. If you wish, Captain, I can get you some mink kits to cuddle while the adults plan. None of us want to talk about this, but that does not make it any less inevitable. Oh, she's calling out Kaladin to put on his big boy pants.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Kaladin says, I'd love that. In turn, I'll get you some eels to cuddle. You'll feel right at home. So these two are not getting along.
No, they're not. And you know what's funny is that we want them to, but they're not. And that's okay.
They're not getting along.
Yeah.
Let me ask this, Captain, says Yasna. Do you think ignoring the movement of Voidbringer troops would be wise? Probably not. And do you think perhaps that you could train your Squire Windrunners to fly up high and scout for us? If span reads are proving unreliable these days, I'll need another method of watching the enemy. I'd happily cuddle sky eels as you offer if your team would be willing to spend some time imitating them. So I like how he throws an insult at her, and then she says, look, all I require is this.
Yeah. I actually need some information.
Right. I like Yasna's return to... I wonder, though, too, because Shallan was really good at throwing out these insults.
Mm-hmm.
Was Yasna doing this kind of stuff at the beginning, or
has she become
picked up from Shallan?
Maybe, you know what I mean? That's possible. I can't remember.
Like,
yeah, I don't.
In Way of Kings,
maybe that's very possible.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Sorry, hang on. If you would spend time imitating them and flying and scouting, Kaladin looks to Dalinar, who nodded appreciatively. Excellent, Yasna says. Uncle, your coalition of monarchs is a superb idea. We need to pen the enemy in and prevent them from overrunning all of Rashar. If... And she trails off, because Shallan pauses, looking at the doodle that she's been doing. It's an actual doodle.
I know. I actually have that in my notes. You and I call each other doodles all the time.
We do. She's doing a doodle.
I'm like, it's a doodle. I'm like, that's too funny, because Jack and I call each other dude, duder, and doodle all
the
time.
And then the doodle.
And then now doodle is actually in the book we cover, which is hilarious.
I know. It's a highlight for me, too.
Yeah.
So she's looking at the doodle that she's been doing. Actually, it was a bit more complex than a doodle. It was kind of a full... What, you're laughing?
It's a little more complex than a doodle.
Than a doodle.
Because you're a complex doodle as well, so that's why I like that.
I am definitely a complex doodle, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It was kind of a full sketch of Kaladin's face. Okay, come on. She's drawing his face, passionate, the words passion.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's supposed to be taking notes, and she's
passionate
drawing.
Eyes and a determined expression. Yasna had noticed a creation spread in the form of a small gemstone that had appeared on the top of her page, and Shallan blushed, shooing it away. Perhaps, Yasna says, glancing at Shallan's sketchbook, we could do with a short break, Uncle. If you wish, I could use something to drink. And they broke up. Dalinar Navani chatting softly, and they went to check with the guards and servants in the main hallway. Shallan watched them go with a sense of longing as she felt Yasna loom over her, because she's been caught doodling. Let us chat, Yasna says, nodding toward the far end of the long rectangular room. Shallan sighs, closed the notebook, and followed Yasna to the other end. So the sighing, it's like a teenager, like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm getting a lecture from Yasna.
It's about to come, yeah.
This far from the spheres brought for the meeting, the lighting was dim. Okay, so they're going into a shadowy area. May I, Yasna says, holding out her hand for Shallan's notebook. She relinquishes it. A fine depiction of the young captain, Yasna says. I see three lines of notes here, after you were pointedly instructed to take the minutes. We should have sent for a scribe, she says. We had a scribe. To take notes is not a lowly task, Shallan. It is a service you can provide. If it's not a lowly task, then perhaps you should have done it. Yasna closed the sketch pad and fixed Shallan with a calm, level stare. The type that made Shallan squirm. I remember, Yasna says, a nervous, desperate young woman, frantic to earn my goodwill. She didn't reply. I understand, Yasna says, that you have enjoyed independence. What you have accomplished here is remarkable, Shallan. You even seem to have earned my uncle's trust, which is a challenging task. Then maybe we can just call the wardship finished, eh? I mean, I'm a full radiant now. I like how Shallan appears to be Canadian with her A.
Yeah. Can we have mayo bacon sandwiches, eh?
Radiant, yes, Yasna says, but full? Where's your armor? Armor? Shallan asks. Shallan...
Let me ask you something.
What?
Full radiant. Where's your armor?
Yeah, where's
Yasna seems to be making a distinction here that you are only a full radiant once you have armor.
Once you have plate, yeah.
Do you think that Yasna has her armor?
I don't know.
She wouldn't be walking around with it. It would be something that she could do whenever.
We haven't seen her.
The only radiants with armor that we've seen are the ones in the visions.
Right.
So, but Yasna's been gone for a while, so... Maybe she learned how to do it in Shadesmar.
Maybe.
We'll have to wait and see if there's ever a moment where she calls it, because if she does, then that means she's saying from experience, or she's just learned from somewhere that that's what marks a full radiant is getting
a full radiant
armor. Yeah.
Is getting the armor.
Yeah.
Yasna sighed softly, opening up the sketch pad again. I wonder if it's... Sorry, just touching on that. Like, The shard blade is is obviously offensive,
right?
I mean, you can practice, but it's ultimately an offensive weapon,
right?
But your armor is defensive,
Right.
So I wonder if it's just that you can only become a full Radiant when you have the ability to withstand the blows
maybe
that come and not be offensive.
Practically, you know, in like a D&D leveling up style way, it has to do with the ideals, right? Third ideal gets you your sword.
Right.
And we don't know what ideal gets you the armor. Fourth, fifth, we're not really sure even how high it goes up yet. I don't think they've even told us yet.
There are ideals beyond three?
Yeah. Because they said before, I'm pretty sure they said before that you...
Right.
That there are more, that, like, I think Syl says, or the Stormfather tells Dalinar in one of the visions that you haven't said the right words yet to get to that point yet.
To get the armor. That point.
So saying the right words means saying the ideals.
Right.
So, and we know Kaladin has received his sword at third, which means he hasn't said the right next words yet to get the armor. Whether that means it's the fourth or the fifth or the sixth, we don't know. We don't know how far it goes and where along the track of leveling up they get their armor, right? We don't know that stuff yet. So.
I hope that Yasna does have it. I do.
Yeah, it would be really cool. Yeah. Just all of a sudden, she just is like,
poof. Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
She Sailor Moons herself. She has this like moment where she like spirals in like an empty vastness of space and then like gets armor and stuff. Yeah.
That's funny. Armor. Yeah, so she asks about the armor. Shallan. Yasna continues in a comforting tone. I am impressed truly by what I've heard about you recently, but what I've heard about you recently is troubling. You've ingratiated yourself with my family and made good on the causal betrothal to Adolin, but yet here you are with wandering eyes, as this sketch testifies. She says, you skip meetings with Dalinar. When he calls, when you do go, you sit at the back and barely pay attention. He tells me that half the time you find an excuse to slip out early. You've investigated the presence of an unmaid in the tower and frightened it off basically alone, yet you never explained how you found it when Dalinar's soldiers could not.
Mm-hmm.
You've always hidden things from me. Some of those secrets were very damaging, and I find myself unwilling to believe you don't have others. Shallan bit her lip. Interesting that
she nodded. She bit her lip and nodded. She's like, I understand. You can't trust me, and you shouldn't trust me.
Right.
Because I am lying to you still. Yeah.
That's right. What I find is interesting, too, with Shallan, with the drawing, is that, again, with these personalities,
mm-hmm.
which one is drawn to Kaladin?
Right. Like maybe Shallan's in love with Adolin, but maybe Brightness is the one who likes Kaladin, or maybe Vale's the one who likes Kaladin. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good thing to think about for sure.
Yes. Yasna says, that was an invitation to talk to me. Shallan nods again. She wasn't working with the Ghostbloods. That was Vale. And Yasna didn't need to know about Vale. In fact, Yasna couldn't know about Vale.
I love this. She wasn't working with the Ghostbloods. That was Vale. Just like before a few chapters ago in part one, it was Shallan that choked down the Horn Eater White, not Vale.
Right.
It wasn't Vale that was weak. It was Shallan that was weak.
That's
And in this instance, it's not Shallan that is betraying them and working with the Ghostbloods. It's Vale.
It's Vale. Very well, Yasna says with a sigh. Your wardship is not finished and won't be until I'm convinced that you can meet minimum requirements of scholarship, such as taking shorthand notes during an important conference. Your path as a Radiant is another matter. I don't know that I can guide you. Each order was distinctive in its approach, but as a young man will not be excused from his geography lessons simply because he has achieved competence with the sword, I will not release you from your duties to me simply because you have discovered your powers as a Radiant.
I like this. It's what we said earlier.
Yeah.
You still want to learn how to be a scholar? You're not done learning how to be a scholar yet.
Right.
I don't care if you can bench press a car or fucking fly or have illusion magic. You were learning to be a scholar. Is that still important to you?
Right.
Right?
You're not a versatilian yet.
No, not yet.
Yasna handed back the sketchpad and walked toward the ring of the chairs, and she settled next to Renarin, prodding him gently to speak with her. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Yasna knows a little bit about what's going on with Renarin.
Mm-hmm.
He looked up for the first time since the meeting had begun and nodded, saying something that Shallan couldn't hear. Mmm, Pattern says, she is wise. That's perhaps her most infuriating feature, actually, Shallan says.
Yeah.
I love that response to, you know, a character is wise. Yeah, and that's her most infuriating feature.
Yeah, we hate her for it.
yeah, it's her bloody wisdom. Storm, she makes me feel like a child. Like in her past.
Mm-hmm.
Mmm, Pattern says. The worst part is she's probably right. When I'm around her, I do act more like a child. It's like part of me wants to let her take care of everything. And I hate that about myself. Is there a solution? Pattern asks. I don't know. Well, perhaps, Pattern offers, act like an adult. Shallan put her hands to her face, groaning softly and rubbing her eyes with her fingers. She'd basically asked for that. Come on, she says. Let's go to the rest of the meeting. As much as I want an excuse to get out of here. Pattern says, something about this room. What? Something. It has memories, Shallan. Memories? Did he mean in Shadesmar? She'd avoided traveling there. That was at least one thing in which she'd listened to Yasna. She made her way back to her seat. So again, it's a cryptic thing. There's memories here in this room.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. Sometimes there's these little
Pattern,
drops, right?
Has Pattern been here before? He's experienced this place before?
Remember, these Spren don't fully remember everything about the stuff they should know. And they eventually do. And one, it's, you know, a way for Sanderson to be able to hold stuff back from us, right?
Unveil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She made her way back to her seat. And after a moment's thoughts, slip Yasna a quick note. Pattern says this room has memories. Worth investigating in Shadesmar? Yasna regarded the note and then wrote back, I've found that we should not ignore the offhand comments of our Spren. Press him. I will investigate this place. And thank you for the suggestion.
There you go.
There you go. The meeting started up again, and now turn to discussion of specific kingdoms around Roshar. Yasna was most keen on getting the Shin to join them. Interesting. She's worried about spies and most keen on the Shin. She wants to kill the heralds and wants to not avoid the threat of the Parshmen being inhabitants or hosts for
the
Void Spren.
It's very logical. What's the best way of stopping these ancient beings that become the fused? Remove their vessels.
Right.
And it's brutal, but it is one of the options. And she's not saying that they should do it. And she said that to Kaladin earlier.
No.
Like, it's just something that we have to talk about at the very least.
Mm-hmm. The Shattered Plains held the easternmost of the Oath Gates, and that was already under Alethi control. If they could gain access to the one farthest to the west, they could travel the entire breadth of Roshar in a heartbeat. They didn't talk about tactics too specifically. That was a masculine art, and Dalinar would want his high princes and generals to discuss the battlefields. But still, Shallan didn't fail to notice that the tactical terms Yasna used now and then, like Dalinar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, it's this connection, right? Like, she's like him in the tactics.
Yeah.
You know, it's a masculine art, but Yasna's got it.
Yeah, for sure.
In things like this, Shallan had difficulty understanding the woman. In some ways, Yasna seemed fiercely masculine. She studied whatever she pleased, and she talked tactics as easily as she talked poetry. She could be aggressive, even cold. And Shallan had seen her straight up execute thieves who had tried to rob her. Beyond that, well, it probably was best not to speculate on things with no meaning, but people did talk. Yasna had turned down every suitor for her hand, including some of the most attractive and influential men. People wondered, was she perhaps simply not interested? And this kind of speaks to what you were saying,
what we were saying before.
Terms of the community saying that she may be asexual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just not interested in that stuff.
Not into it.
No. And that's okay. It's a very viable way
Absolutely.
Of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it adds to Yasna's, she's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All of this should have resulted in a person who was decidedly unfeminine, but yet Yasna she wore the finest makeup, and she wore it well, with shadowed eyes and bright red lips. She kept her safe hand covered and preferred intricate and fetching styles of braids from her hairdresser. Her writings and her mind made her the very model of Voran femininity. Next to Yasna, Shallan felt pale and stupid and completely lacking in curves. What would it be like to be so confident and so beautiful, yet so unconstrained all at once? Surely Yasna Kolin had far fewer problems in life than Shallan. At the very least, though, she created far fewer for herself than Shallan did. I just love this. Being inside Yasna's mind, Shallan's mind about Yasna.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of admiration for Yasna.
For sure.
Despite her frustrations.
Of course.
It was about this point that Shallan realized that she'd missed a good 15 minutes of the meeting. So here she is daydreaming.
Yeah.
And thinking, and she's missed about 15 minutes. Dalinar had said some stuff that was in her notes.
Yeah, that's what's part of her notes. Dalinar said some stuff.
Dalinar said some stuff, it read, and it was very important and useful, so I'm sure you remember it without needing a reminder. Shallan smiled apologetically and shrugged. Please write this out in longhand, Yasna says, handing it back, and have a copy sent to my mother and to my brother's head scribe. Shallan took it as a dismissal and she rushed away. She felt like a student who had just been released from lessons, which angered her. At the same time, she wanted to run off and immediately do as Yasna had asked, to renew her mistress's faith in her, which angered her even more. Wow, she's so, what's the word? She's in conflict all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Like her emotions are, you know, I respect Yasna and I want to be away from her. I enjoy being treated like a child and to keep my toes up. And then
I also hate it.
And I also hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's such a interesting character. The different sides within her were clashing. Yeah. She remembered the days in Carbranth when she'd been so certain, so timid, so uncertain, sorry, and timid. She couldn't return to that, though. She wouldn't. But what to do instead? She reached her rooms and Pattern was buzzing at her. She tossed aside her sketchpad and satchel, digging out Vale's coat and hat. Vale would know what to do. However, pinned to the inside of Vale's coat was a sheet of paper. Shallan froze and then looked around the room, suddenly anxious. Hesitantly, she unpinned the sheet and unfolded it. The top read, "You have accomplished the task we set out for you. You have investigated the unmade, and not only learned something of it, but also frightened it away. And as promised, here is your reward. The following letter explains the truth about your deceased brother, Nan Halloran, acolyte of the Radiant Order of Skybreakers."
So this undoes stuff that we thought we knew about Halloran.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like,
indeed,
Halloran was working directly for darkness, for Nail, for the Herald of Judgment.
Yeah.
He was becoming a Skybreaker.
Yes.
Awesome. It's so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. I didn't see this one coming.
No.
Not at all.
Well, we thought we had... It's funny because from the very early on, Amaram suggests that a group that is against him and his group might have sent the assassin. And so we always kind of assumed that Halloran was mixed up with this other group of people.
Right.
Like the Ghostbloods is what we assumed.
Like the Ghostbloods.
Right, because a Ghostblood operative had infiltrated their house and made Shallan's dad kind of an associate of theirs, gave them a soul caster, and then now the Ghostbloods were after her and got her now. So we assumed that they had gone after Halloran too. But this is not... The Ghostbloods are saying, actually, he wasn't ours. He belonged to Nail and the Skybreakers.
Yeah, which we find out next chapter.
Yeah,
right?
Which is awesome, yeah. So what's your what's your highlight for this chapter?
Oh, well, we named a bunch of them. Hmm. I like the stepdad thing. That he's already her dad.
Yeah, he's already
her
dad.
I really liked it when you said that. Yeah. That was really great.
Yeah, that's true.
I love Kaladin's broodiness. The antagonistic relationship between Yasna is kind of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
A little concerned about it.
That line that Kaladin says, where he says, like, you shouldn't use those past wars to, you know,
justify
this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a really great
highlight.
Yeah, it's
a good line. Yeah.
There's quite a sprinkling in here for highlights. I think I'm going to go with the she's already her dad. When you said that to me, it was really, it just,
yes.
It really, I don't know, it made me feel really good about it.
That's great. I'm keeping track. I got a little list here, a little sign over here that says all the times I was a highlight in the chapters. I've got four.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
You got four of them?
No, I'm just, I don't know.
You don't have a scoreboard?
Yeah, no, I don't have a scoreboard. No, I wrote down... My highlight I wrote down is the line that Kaladin says, but I also really love when Shallan says, Dalinar said some really important stuff here, so clearly you don't need me to remind you of it because you were paying attention too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so
funny. Justifying in the notes.
Yeah.
The reason why I didn't take notes is because it was important.
It was super important.
If something important was said, so of course you listened.
Of
course
important. Everyone was listening.
So I don't...
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't have to write
it down.
So
funny, yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's great. A great chapter. Great. Didn't get an alternate title for notes. Mm-hmm. I did get one for the next one, though.
Okay, great. Well, haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. Okay, chapter 40, Questions, Peaks, and Inferences.
Mm-hmm. You said you had a really nice...
I do have an alternate title for this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Questions, Peaks, and Inferences is good.
Yeah.
It's great. But... Mine sort of, it's in the text,
okay.
It's coming up, and it sort of, I think it describes what's about to happen with these characters, but also who they are.
Okay.
My alternate title for this chapter is The Opposite.
Hmm. Okay.
And you'll see how it comes up.
Okay.
As for Uli-Dah, it was obvious from the outset that she was going to be a problem. And good riddance.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So if these shards are communicating, Uli-Dah could have been a shard.
Yeah, maybe.
And is no longer here. No longer.
Hmm.
Good riddance. Interesting.
Yeah.
The dialogue is getting a little
aggressive.
A bit more teeth on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The claws are coming out in this dialogue. Questions, peaks, and references. We've got a hooded figure on the relief work here on chapter 40 again. I wonder if it was on the previous chapter. No, yeah, hooded figure. And what looks to be a potentially a brightness, but I don't know. Could be Yasna, I don't know. Interesting. I'm fascinated with how they change.
Right.
From chapter to chapter.
I'm fascinated with how we've never covered them, and then every once in a while you try to talk about them, and I have no inkling or want to cover them because we never have, and we can't start doing it now. So I just stay pretty much silent when you talk about them. Yeah.
Here are at least two major institutions on Roshar. or sorry, not Hera, there are at least two major institutions on Roshar other than ourselves, which presage the return of the Voidbringers and the Desolations, the letter read.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going right into this letter from Moraes.
Dude, it's one of my favorite things, this letter.
So, well, this is, well, and actually, another title could have been The Letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Though yeah. It's only a very small part of this chapter.
It is. That's why I picked the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You are familiar with the first of these, the men who call themselves the Sons of Honor. The old king of Alvkar, the Blackthorn's brother, Gavilar Colan, was a driving force in their expansion. And he brought Meridus Amaram into their fold, as you no doubt discovered upon infiltrating Amaram's mansion in the war camps. The Sons of Honor explicitly worked for the return of the Desolations. They believed that only the Voidbringers would cause the Heralds to show themselves, and they believed that a desolation would restore both the Knights Radiant and the classical strength of the Vorin Church.
That's a part of it that we haven't really discovered yet.
What, the classical strength of the church?
Yeah. We mm-hmm. knew that Amaram and Gavilar were out for the bringing back of powers and radiance.
Right.
But we didn't know that one of their side things, one of the other things they wanted, was to bring back the power of the Vorin Church, as it had been, you know, thousands of years ago. So,
and which other characters align with being, you know, I guess strict or to adhere to Vorin religion?
Mm-hmm.
Shallan has displayed that.
Yep, she has, for sure. Mm-hmm. So obviously the Ardents, the ones who don't believe Dalinar when right. he says the Almighty is dead.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're part of this nefarious group, only that they also want, you know, their standing and their belief system to stay strong, whatever, right?
King Gavilar's efforts to rekindle the Desolations are likely the true reason that he was assassinated, though there were many in the palace that night who had reason to see him dead. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play a game of Clue.
Right. Even though we know what's in the envelope at the end already, we know that he was killed.
We do.
By the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Five and Eshonai decided that he couldn't live because they were trying to bring back the old gods.
Yeah, the old gods.
And they were fearful of what would it mean to them. And, I mean, clearly, we know now that they had cause to be worried.
Yeah. They don't want to be hosts for these Voidspren.
Right. Right.
So here comes King Gavilar with this ambition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take him out.
Yeah. It had the adverse effect eventually.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, their tactics.
Maybe it held off for 6 years.
Right. 6 years of the fighting.
Yeah.
A second group who knew the Desolations might return are the Skybreakers, led by the ancient herald Nalan Elin, often simply called Nail. Now, Nail is who we know as Darkness, correct?
Because of his meetings with Lyft.
With Lyft.
Right.
Right. The Skybreakers are the only order of Radiance that did not betray its oaths during the Recreants.
Dude.
So cool.
That means, like all the other orders of Radiance gave up arms and broke. The Skybreakers did not.
Did not.
So they've been active for this whole entire time.
Right.
So that puts more weight to what happened with Nail and Lyft at the end, when Lyft kind of like makes him see what he's doing is like weird and fucked up. He's been doing it for thousands of years.
For thousands of years, yeah.
So it's really cool. It makes that moment with Lyft and him at the end of that novella a little more meaningful, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It was already crazy.
It was already awesome, but it makes it seem even more like, wow, she was able to get through to him and no one else had been able to for thousands of years. So
for thousands of years.
Yeah.
But Lyft, yeah. Wow.
It's cool, right?
He needed a Lyft.
Yeah, you're right. He did. Yeah.
They have maintained a continuous clandestine line from ancient days. Ah, mm-hmm. A line mm-hmm. of these Skybreakers.
Right.
Where do you think Kaladin fits in with this?
Well, Kaladin is a Windrunner.
I know.
I think they share the surge of being able to fly, which is like the lashings of gravitation right. or whatever. But they're not the same in any kind of way.
Do you think that we know other Skybreakers?
Who are like not sharing their ability to...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
What about Teft? No.
Oh, there's something going on with Teft. We just don't know what it is yet.
Right. Nail believed that men speaking the words of other orders would hasten the return of the Voidbringers. We do not know how this could possibly be true, but as a herald, Nail has access to knowledge and understanding beyond us. You should know that the heralds are no longer to be seen as allies to man. Those that are not completely insane have been broken. Nail himself is ruthless, without pity or mercy. He has spent the last 2 decades, perhaps much longer, dealing with anyone close to bonding a Spren. Sometimes he recruited these people, bonding them to High Spren and making them Skybreakers.
High Spren being the kind... We've actually used the term High Spren as describing those sentient Spren, Pattern,
right.
Sill,
right.
Ivory, Gliss, all these Spren that bond make Radiance. We've used High right. Spren as like a kind of a blanket term, and we probably shouldn't have been. I got a couple of messages on Reddit saying...
Oh, did you?
We shouldn't have been, just because High Spren is a type of Spren, you know?
Right.
Sill is an Honor Spren. And when she bonds with someone, they become Windrunners. A High Spren is the kind of Spren that bonds someone and they become Skybreakers.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
Cryptics are the ones that make Lightweavers.
Right.
So you saying okay. High Spren.
So High Spren
is
Skybreakers.
A little misnomer from us, from the past. So,
right.
Yeah.
Others are eliminated. If the person had already bonded with a Spren, the Nail usually went in person to dispatch them. And if not, he just sent a minion. A minion like your brother, Helleran.
So they're talking about moments like Yim, the cobbler.
I was going to say.
Right.
Because Nail...
Nail went and dealt with that one
to dispatch
himself,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And sometimes he didn't go himself. He sent a minion. A minion like your brother. So Helleran's job with the Skybreakers was to go and kill budding Knights Radiance. People who
right.
had just bonded a Spren, who were about to, and kill them before they could become a Knight Radiant. Because Nail believed that Knight Radiance would bring about the Voidbringers.
So... A Skybreaker, though, is a type of Radiant, correct? It's an order.
It is, yeah.
So why are they... Is this the mission of Unite Them? Is this where it's about...
Everything possible in this book is another moment where you could say, is this a Unite Them moment? Like, they're all Unite
I know.
Thems, you know what I mean?
It's all Unite... Yeah, I know.
But this is the hypocrisy of Nail. Only my order can stay...
The misguidance, yeah.
Right. Everything else, if we kill everyone else from being a Knight Radiant, the desolation won't come. But what about you guys?
Right.
You guys are still around. You guys are actively bonding Spren and actively being Knights Radiant.
Right.
So
right.
it's a little bit like...
You need to put yourself in that same target.
Yeah, you need to kill all your men and kill yourself
right.
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And unbond and... Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really interesting, though, that Helleran was one of these...
These
hitmen. He was like a Knight Radiant hitman.
And odd that it ended up being Kaladin that...
Well, keep reading.
Yeah. Your mother had intimate contact with a Skybreaker Acolyte. Wow. Shallan's mother.
Yeah, and you know
and
the
you
result
know
of that relationship.
Of that relationship. Yeah.
So what do you think that he's referring to here?
Well, I think that referring that Halloran was the result of that relationship.
I don't think so. I'm reading it differently. Your mother had intimate contact with a Skybreaker acolyte, and you know the result of that relationship. I think the acolyte was the man who was also dead in that room that day.
Right.
And if that acolyte had told Shallan's mother, we can't let Radiance be made, that's the reason why her mother tried to kill her. Because they saw Shallan was becoming Radiant.
So because of Shallan's mother's relationship with the Skybreaker...
Skybreaker acolyte, he poisoned her mother against her, saying, if we let people become Radiant, the world will end.
It'll bring back the desolations.
So that's why when Shallan killed her mother, she did it in self-defense, right? She called her sprint to her, made a blade, and killed her.
Right.
Kind of by accident, but in self-defense, because her mother was trying to kill her. And it was because she was involved with the Skybreakers.
It's so tragic. Now, do you think the relationship... Well, do you think the relationship with Shallan's mom was an actual relationship?
I don't know if it was like an intimate lover relationship.
Yeah.
It seemed like that to Shallan and her memories and to Shallan's dad. But I think that this is the next layer of this story, which is they might not have been lovers. She might have just been being recruited by this acolyte because they knew that there was someone in this household who was becoming radiant.
Radiant, yeah.
Right. And they had already gotten Halloran. They said earlier in the letter, sometimes that they would identify them and recruit them.
Halloran.
But sometimes they wouldn't recruit them.
The reason why I was quick to go to the relationship sort of aspect of things was because Shallan's mother appeared to be, you know, miserable in her marriage.
Right. And it's possible that they had an intimate relationship.
Right.
But I feel like this is the more important connection here.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
That's crazy. What were the circumstances under which the Skybreaker ended up being dead in that circumstance? Remember?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember. How?
So he's lying dead. He's there dead in Shallan's memory of these events.
Mm-hmm.
So who killed that Skybreaker?
I don't remember.
Is that something yet to come?
I don't know. I don't remember. No. That's something that I'll look into and we'll talk about it next episode.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So your mother had intimate contact with a Skybreaker. And you know the result of that relationship. Your brother was recruited because Nail was impressed with him. Nail must also have learned, though, through means we do not understand, that a member of your house was close to bonding a Spren. If this is true, they came to believe that Halloran was the one they wanted. They recruited him with displays of great power and shards. Halloran had not yet proved himself worthy of a Spren bond. Nail is exacting with his recruits, and likely Halloran was sent to kill Amaram as a test. Either that, or he took it upon himself as a way of proving his worthiness for knighthood.
Okay, so it looks like they thought someone in the household was going to become Radiant. They assumed it was Halloran. They recruited Halloran and made him an acolyte of the Skybreakers.
Right.
One of these other acolytes who was close to their mother must have noticed that Shallan was becoming Radiant too, and that's why they were going to kill her. Right? This next part is the doosiest of the doozers, okay?
The next part is the doosiest?
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, let's finish it. It is also possible that the Skybreakers knew someone in Amaram's army and was close to bonding a Spren, but I believe it likelier that the attack on Amaram was simply a strike against the Sons of Honor. From our spying upon the Skybreakers, we have records showing the only member of Amaram's army to to have bonded a spren was long since eliminated. The Bridgeman was not, so far as we understand, known to them. If he had been, he would certainly have been killed during his months as a slave.
Okay, so this is so reading like this. It's also possible that the Skybreakers knew someone in Amaram's army was bonding a spren. That's why Halloran was being sent there. Right.
Right.
He's saying
being sent. Right.
And Moraes is saying it's actually more likely that Halloran was sent to kill Amaram as a test. Right. To be able to test him to see if he was ready to bond a spren or just as a test as an acolyte. And also taking Amaram out from the Sons of Honor, this other group that they were against, was important.
Mm-hmm.
It says, from our spying upon the Skybreakers, we have records showing only members of Amaram's army to have bonded a spren was long since eliminated. So there was someone else in Amaram's army who was close to bonding a spren who had already been eliminated, who had already died.
Do we know who that was?
I don't know. Do you remember anyone in Amaram's army that could have been... becoming radiant? Was there anyone that could have been? Sorry, say it out loud. Don't just mouth it to me on camera.
Tien.
What do you, dude? I got goosebumps all over my body right now. What do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible?
Are you kidding me?
That Tien was becoming radiant.
I want to stop recording right now.
Why? Wow. Why do you want to stop recording? This is what we're here for.
Because. Oh my God, Sean. I didn't think about that.
I don't know if this is true.
Wow.
I don't know if this is true either. But there is a this is like the tiniest of little granular nuggets in here that it could.
And it could be that by fate, if you will, by the winds, that Kaladin
was overlooked.
No, that Kaladin, you know, basically was able to kill his brother's killer.
Right.
If Halloran, it depends on, okay, if he's already been eliminated, by whom?
Well, we know how Tien dies, right? Tien dies because he gets put at the front of this area of this battle, and he gets killed because the person who's in charge was like reckless with these young recruits. Right?
Right.
So he's not necessarily saying that if it is Tien they're talking about, that that he was eliminated by the Skybreakers, but that the person who was in Amaram's army who could have becoming radiant was already eliminated. That person had already died. So they could be talking about Tien. They could also be talking about any one of those other men. Right?
Well, who else do we know that was in Amaram's army?
I mean, there was all the names that we heard at the beginning of Way of Kings that were all part of Kaladin's squad, right? It could also be that it was Kaladin and that Kaladin was just overlooked.
No, this letter, well, Moraes seems to think that
the Bridgeman was not, as far as we understand, known to them.
It seems like Amaram... You know what? Yeah, you're right. It's not Halloran who killed Tien.
No.
It's Amaram who put him to the front.
Or not Amaram, but it was one of those dudes. Like, it was one of the sergeants on the battlefield.
Yeah,
it wasn't Amaram himself, but it was one of those dudes.
Right.
So, but I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying that there's something in there that makes makes for cool thinking. Like, this is something that we have to think about now. Right?
Do we need any more to think about? I don't know.
No, we don't.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't think about Tien. And initially I was kind of thinking that it might have been poetic if Halloran had been the one that somehow either, you know, was able to direct Tien into that battle.
Right.
And was responsible for Tien's.
And then the Kaladin inadvertently
and then
got
Kaladin
revenge on
ends
him
up
later.
Killing him.
Yeah, I don't think Halloran was involved in any way. No.
You're right. Yeah. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And it just remains to be seen, I suppose, whether, you know, who really was responsible for putting
this little nugget position. Here makes you want to go back and reread anything with Tien in it to see if there was anything that he ever exhibited in a weird way. There was one thing he used to do all the time. which he used to stare at stones all the time.
The rocks.
And see beauty in them. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just a little boy's fascination with rocks or if that's more. But anyways, let's continue reading because we're...
Okay. Yeah. It ended there, and Shallan sat in her room. Helorin was a skybreaker, and King Gavilar working with Amaram to bring back the desolations? Pattern was buzzing with concern on her skirts and moved up to where Shallan was reading the letter. She whispered the words again to herself to memorize them, for she knew that she couldn't keep the letter.
Mm-hmm.
It was too dangerous. Pattern says, secrets. There are lies in this letter. So many questions. Who else had been there on the night Gavilar had died, as the letter hinted? And what about this reference to another surgebinder in Amaram's army? He's dangling tidbits in front of me, Shallan says, like a man on the docks who has a trained curl that will dance and wave its arms for fish. But we want those tidbits, don't we? Asks Pattern. Well, that's why it works, she says. She couldn't deal with this at the moment, so she took a memory of the page. It wasn't a particularly efficient method in regards to text, but it would work in a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
Then she stuffed the letter in a basin of water and washed off the ink before shredding it and wadding it into a ball. And from there, she changed into her coat, her trousers and hat, and snuck from the rooms as Vale.
I think it's very telling here that Pattern says, there are lies in this letter.
In this letter, yeah.
So, like, we just read this stuff, extrapolated all this stuff, talked about how cool it was. Oh, my God, what could this mean? And Pattern's like, there are lies in this letter. So, don't... it's like saying, Jack, don't get excited about this letter.
Don't get excited.
Too much,
calm down.
Because some of the stuff that we just read could be a lie.
Could
and
be
I
a
love
lie.
That. I love that Sanderson is just like, here's some really juicy stuff, but remember, it could all be lies.
But remember, right.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's awesome.
That's probably a highlight, actually, that the letter is sort of so interesting and amazing and getting you to think. And then also, wait.
Yeah.
How about we also, you know,
infer
pull the
that,
rug out
yeah,
as well.
Maybe that there's some... And you don't know which lies they are.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. We get a POV change here.
Actually, you know what? You're right. It is a POV change.
It is a POV
it's a change.
Because it's Shallan.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a scene change, but it's actually a POV change.
Yeah. And Vale. So we go to Vale now.
Yeah.
Vale found Vatha and some of his men playing at pieces in their barracks common room. Though this was for Sibariel soldiers, she saw men in blue uniforms as well. Dalinar had ordered his men to spend some time with the soldiers of his allies to help foster a sense of camaraderie. But Vale's entrance drew glances, but not stares. Women were allowed in such common rooms, though few came. Little sounded less appealing to a woman being courted than, "Hey, let's go sit in the barracks common room and watch men grunt and scratch themselves." She sauntered over to where Vatha and his men had set up a round wooden table. Furniture was finally trickling down to the ordinary men. Shallan even had a bed now. Vale settled down in a seat and leaned back, tipping the chair so it clicked against the stone wall. This large common room behind reminded her of a wine cellar. It was dark, unadorned, and filled with a variety of unusual stenches. Vale, Vatha says, nodding to her. Four of them were playing at the table. Vatha, One-Eyed Gaz, Lanky Red, and Shob. The latter wore a glyph ward wrapped around one arm and sniffled periodically. Vale leaned her head back. I seriously need something to drink, Vale says. I've got an extra mug or two on my ration, Red says cheerfully. Vale eyed him to see if he was hitting on her again. He was smiling, but otherwise didn't seem to be making a pass. Right, kind of you, Red, Vale says, digging out a few chips and tossing them to him. A short time later, she was back in her place, nursing some lavish beer. Tough day, Vatha says, lining up his pieces. The small stone bricks were about the size of a thumb, and the men each had 10 of them. There's that number again, always coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
They arranged face down. The betting started soon after. Vatha was the mink for this round. I love this, too, that he created a game. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, that Sanderson created like an actual game inside.
Of course he did. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah, she replies, Shallan's been an even bigger pain than usual. This is a highlight for me. Small, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's among the first times where we have Vale saying something about one of the other characters.
Yeah.
And what's the first thing that Vale says? Now, Shallan's being an even bigger pain
than usual.
That's funny.
Well, the workers have to complain against the supervisor. So in order for her to sell it, she has to complain about her boss, right?
Yeah, that's true, too. It could be that, too, that she's just playing it. It's like she can't decide who she is, you know, Vale continues. One moment she's cracking jokes like she's sitting in a knitting circle with old ladies. And the next she's staring at you with that hollow gaze, the one that makes you think her soul has gone vacant. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, we've had moments of Shallan doing that already.
Where her soul has gone vacant?
Where she spaces out.
She does space out.
And I think that's what she's referring to, which is crazy for her to be referring to it about herself. It's a strangely mm-hmm. self-aware without it being self-aware. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a strange one, our mistress, Vatha agreed. Makes you want to do things, Gaz says with a grunt. Things you never thought you'd do. Yeah, Glerv says from the next tail over. I got a medal, me, for helping find that mess hiding in the basement. Old Colin himself set it down for me. The overweight soldier shook his head, bemused, but he was wearing the medal, pinned right to his collar. It was fun, Gaz admitted, going out carousing, but feeling like we were doing something. That's what she promised us, you know, making a difference again. The difference I want to make, Vatha said, is filling my pouch with your spheres, you men betting or not. The four players all tossed in some spheres. There were dice, drawing from a deck of cards, even shuffling up the pieces. Betting on such things was like trying to guess the future, and that was so deeply wrong. Thinking of it made Vale's skin crawl. She wasn't even particularly religious, not like Shallan was.
Mm-hmm.
There's another little reference to Shallan's
her religiousness.
Being religious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't play games like those in the official barracks. Here they played guessing games. Vatha had arranged 9 of his pieces in a triangle shape. The 10th one, he set to the side and flipped over as the seed. The hidden nine was marked with the symbol of one of the Alethi princedoms. In this case, the seed was Aladar's symbol in the form of a chul. And the goal was to arrange your 10 pieces in a pattern identical to his, even though they were face down. I love this description of the game. Yeah. It's a little highlight for me.
Yeah. It's something definitely that Sanderson and Dragonsteel could sell as a game.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, they could sell a little tiny box with these pieces, and you could just play it.
Are they already doing that?
No, I don't think so. But they could.
They should. You'd guess which were which through a series of questions and peaks and inferences. So there's the title.
Mm-hmm.
So questions, peaks, and inferences. You could force the mink to reveal pieces just to you or to everyone, based on certain other rules. In the end, though, someone called and everyone flipped over their pieces, and the one with the most matches to the mink's pattern was declared the winner and claimed the pot. And the mink got a percentage based on certain factors, such as the number of turns it took before someone called.
Right.
What do you think? Gaz asked as he tossed a few chips into the bowl at the center, buying the right to peek at one of Vatha's tiles. How long will Shallan go this time before she remembers we're here? Shab says, long time, I hope. Oh, I think I might be coming down with something. So all is normal, Shab? Red says. It's big this time, Shab says. Oh, I think I might be turning into a Voidbringer. A Voidbringer? Vale said flatly. Yeah, look at this rash. He pulled back the glyph ward, exposing his upper arm, which looked perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
Vatha snorted. Eh, Shab says, oh, I'm likely to die, Sarge. You mark me? Oi, I'm likely to die. He moved around a few of his tiles. And if I do, give my winnings to them orphans. Them orphans? Red asked. You know orphans. Shab scratched his head. There's orphans, right? Somewhere. Orphans that need food. Give them mine after I die. He's concerned about the orphans.
He doesn't know any particular orphans. He just knows that there are orphans.
That there are orphans.
Yeah, it's like, it's a natural, you know, case of society. There's going to be orphans. There's you know them be, orphans, and you know I want them to get my money.
Oh, my God. It's kind of, it's funny. It's cute. Shab says, Vatha says, Shab, which, with the way justice plays out in this world, I can guarantee you'll outlive the rest of us. Oh, that's nice, Shab says. Right, nice, Sarge. The game progressed only a few rounds before Shab started flipping over his tiles. Already, Gaz says. Shab, you Kremlin, don't do it yet. I don't even have two lines. Too late, Shab says. Red and Gaz reluctantly started flipping their tiles. Shallan says, Sadius, Bethab, Ruthar, Royon, Thanadol, Colin, Sabariel, Vama, Haytham, with Aladar as the seed.
She was able to guess what his pattern was.
Right. But this is Shallan.
Yeah, Shallan guessed it, not Vale.
Right, not Vale, because it says Shallan.
Yeah.
Right. Vatha gaped at her, and then flipped the tiles over, revealing them exactly as she'd said. And you didn't even get any peaks. Storms, woman, remind me never to play pieces with you. My brothers always said the same thing, she said, as he split the pot with Shab, and who had gotten them all right but three. Huh. Shab was fairly intuitive.
Yeah.
Another hand, Gaz asks. Everyone looked in at his bowl of spheres, which was almost empty. I can get alone, he said quickly. There's some fellows in Dalinar's guard who said, Gaz, Vatha says. No, but seriously, Gaz. Gaz sighed. Guess we can play for ends then. Fake money for gambling without stakes.
Yeah.
Playing for ends. I like that Shallan appears.
Yeah.
She, and like, I also out. Like that she appears to, like, predict the future in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
Like,
she was paying attention.
Right.
Even though Vale was in charge or whatever, mm-hmm. Shallan was paying attention to the game.
Right.
And when she says, my brothers always said the same thing about her being able to, you know, like, you know, and you didn't even get any peaks. Storms Woman remind me never to play pieces with you. My brothers always said the same thing. So her brothers never wanted to play pieces with her either because she was good at it.
Because she was good.
Yeah.
Vale was enjoying her mug of beer more than she'd expected.
Mm-hmm.
It was refreshing to sit here with these men and not have to worry about all of Shallan's problems. Couldn't that girl just relax and let it all blow past her? Nearby, some washwomen entered, calling the laundry pickup would be in a few minutes. Vatha and his men didn't stir, though by Vale's estimation, the very clothing they were wearing could use a good scrub. Unfortunately, Vale couldn't completely ignore Shallan's problems. Moraes' note proved how useful he could be, but she had to be careful. He obviously wanted a mole among the Knights Radiant. I need to turn this around on him, to learn what he knows. He told her what the Skybreakers and the Sons of Honor had been up to, but what about Moraes and his cohorts? What was their objective?
Yeah, that's very smart thinking here.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, there's two really big groups that are part of everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And then he really should have been saying there are three, but he didn't say anything about them, right? He didn't say anything about what the Ghost Bloods have been up to and how they've been manipulating things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Storms, did she dare to try to double-cross him? Did she really have the experience or the training to attempt something like that? Hey, Vale, Vatha says. What do you think? Has the Brightness already forgotten about us again? Vale shook herself out of her thoughts. Maybe. She doesn't seem to know what to do with you lot. She's not the first, Red says. He was the next Mink. I mean, it's not like we're real soldiers. Our crimes are forgiven, Gaz says, but forgiven ain't forgotten. No military will take us on, and I don't blame them. I'm just glad those Storm and Bridgemen haven't strung me up by my toes. Yeah, well, can you blame them?
This is my highlight coming up here on this chapter.
Bridgemen? Vale asked. He's got a history with them, Vatha noted. I used to be their storming sergeant, Gaz says. Did everything I could to get them to run those bridges faster. But nobody likes their sergeant, though. I'm sure you were the perfect sergeant, Red said with a grin. I'll bet you really looked out for them, Gaz. Shut your creme hole, Gaz scrumbled. Though I do wonder if I'd been a little less hard on them. Do you think maybe I'd be out on that plateau right now, practicing like the lot of them do? Learning to fly? You think you could be a Knight Radiant, Gaz? Vatha said, chuckling. No, I guess I don't. He eyed Vale. Vale, you tell the Brightness we ain't good men. Good men, they'll find something useful to do with their time. We, on the other hand, might do the opposite.
So this is the opposite?
Yeah.
So my highlight here is Gaz saying, if I had been a little less hard on them,
yeah,
would I be out there
I
with
wonder.
Them?
Right.
Like, would I have been part of Bridge 4 in earnest?
Right.
And then they're like, you think you could be a Knight Radiant, Gaz? And then he's like, no, I guess not.
Right.
And then he says the line that is my highlight. Says, Vale, you tell the Brightness, we ain't good men. And remember what?
That's right.
Remember what Dalinar said? Maybe all the good men have died, and all
have
you
died,
have
yeah.
is me.
Right. I know.
Yeah, dude. I got so many goosebumps right now. I love that. I love it so much.
Good men, they'll find something useful to do with their time, but we, on the other hand, we might do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite, Zendid said from the next table over, where a few of the others continued to drink. Opposite of useful? I think we're already there, Gaz, and we've been there forever. So the reason why I like that title, The Opposite, mm-hmm. is because it's just not where you'd think you would find your help.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of what maybe you should be thinking.
Right. And I think it goes to this thing that we just, you know,
right.
from
the good
Dalinar.
Men.
Yeah, the good
right.
men thing. Yeah.
So you go to the opposite.
Yeah. I just love that we used that in the in our D&D game too with the boys,
mm-hmm.
with the accused,
mm-hmm.
that they're all the good men are dead and all you have is us.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was wicked.
Yeah.
Opposite of useful? I think we're already there, Gaz. Not me, Gurv says. I've got a medal. I love that, Gurv.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
It's great.
Or Glurv. I mean, Gaz says, we might get into trouble. I liked being useful. Reminded me of back when I first joined up. You tell her, Vale. Tell her to give us something to do other than gambling and drinking, because to be honest, I ain't very good at either one.
Mm-hmm.
Vale nodded slowly.
I love this from Gaz, man.
I know,
he
right?
He got a taste
it really...
of being, of doing something, you
right.
know, of not being a total shit. And he wants that back. He wants to do something useful.
Gaz is the kind of character that would so quickly have been just written off.
Yeah.
He would have been, he was a jerk to Bridge 4.
Yeah.
So you write him off the page. You say, no, that's all you can ever be is this jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Written off the page or killed.
Right.
He's the kind of character.
It seemed like that, right? When Kaladin in the first book asked about him, he's been dealt with.
It seemed like that.
Right. And it seemed like he was.
And Sadeas, I think it was Sadeus's army. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sadeus, we were guessing back then, I think in Way of Kings, we were thinking, well, he's going to kill Gaz because Gaz has failed.
Right.
Right.
And it's funny because Gaz is like, if I hadn't been too hard on them, maybe I could have joined them. And the people who were in charge of Gaz were like, he wasn't hard on them enough.
Enough. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's such an interesting character, such a, like a minor character, but what an interesting
minor
dude.
Character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this washwoman idled by, messing with a sack of laundry. Vale tapped her finger on her cup. Then she stood up, and she seized the woman and hauled her backward. And the woman shouted, dropping the pile of clothing. Vale shoved her hand into the woman's hair, pushing away a wig of mottled brown and black. Underneath, the woman's hair was pure Alethi black, and she wore ashes on her cheeks as if she'd been doing labor. "You," Vale says. This was the woman from the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
At All's Alley. What had her name been? Ishna. Several nearby soldiers had leapt up with alarmed expressions at the woman's outcry. Every one of those is a soldier from Dalinar's army, Vale noted, suppressing a roll of her eyes. Colan troops did have a habit of assuming that nobody could take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So all these, like, I guess, chivalrous guys are, like, about to react and... And I like that Vale's rolling her eyes like, oh, give me a break. Yeah. Sit down, boys.
I got this.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sit, Vale says, pointing at the table. Red hastily pulled up another chair. Ishna settled herself, holding the wig to her chest. She blushed deeply, but maintained some measure of poise, meeting the eyes of Vatha and his men. You're getting to be an annoyance, woman, Vale says. Why do you assume I'm here because of you? Ishna asked. You're jumping to conclusions. You showed an unhealthy fascination with my associates, and now I find you in disguise, eavesdropping on my conversation? Ishna raised her chin. Maybe I'm just trying to prove myself to you. With the disguise that I saw through the moment I glanced at you, you didn't catch me the last time.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, it's
That's
great.
Really good. The last time, you talked about where to get Horn Eater Lager, Ishna said. Red insisted it was nasty, and Gaz loves it. Storms, how long have you been spying on me? Not long, but I can assure you, and promise it, that I'll be more valuable to you than these rancid buffoons. Please, at least let me try. Buffoons, Gaz said.
Buffoons?
Rancid? Shob says. Oh, that's just my boils, miss. Walk with me, Vale says, standing up, and she strode away from the table. I wasn't really trying to spy on you, but how else was I quiet? Vale says. She stopped at the door to the barracks, far enough from the men that they couldn't hear. Shallan had trouble with follow-through. She had good intentions and grand plans, but she got diverted too easily by new problems
mm-hmm.
and new adventures.
This is true.
Fortunately, Vale could pick up a few of those loose threads. These men had proven that they were loyal. And they wanted to be useful. A woman could be given much less than that to work with. The disguise was well done, she says to Ishna, but next time rough up your free hand some more. The fingers gave you away. They aren't the fingers of a laborer. Tell me what you can do and why I should care. You know what I love about this?
Mm.
This is an interview.
Yeah, it kind of is.
This is a resume and an interview. Tell me why I should hire you.
And I like that Vale gives her some constructive criticism here. Like, this is what gave you away. Good one, but if you had just roughed up your hand a little bit, then you would have been fine.
Right. Maybe that would have been a great alternate title is The Interview.
Yeah.
Tell me what you can do and why I should care. You have 2 minutes. This is such a CEO kind of thing to say.
Yeah, time is money. You only got 2 minutes.
Time is money. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
What can you do for me?
Yeah.
Like, and so Ishna says, I was trained as a spy for House Hamaradin in Vama's court. I know information gathering and message coding, observation techniques, and how to search a room without revealing what I've done. So if you're so useful, what happened? Your people happened. The Ghostbloods. I'd heard of them, whispered by Bright Lady Hamaradin. She crossed them somehow, and then she ended up dead. And everyone thought it might have been one of us who did it. I fled and ended up in the underground, working for a petty gang of thieves. But I could be so much more. Let me prove it to you. Vale crossed her arms. A spy. That could be useful. Vale herself didn't have much actual training, only what Tin had showed her and what she'd learned on her own. If she was going to dance with the Ghostbloods, she would need to be better. Right now, she didn't even know what it was she didn't know. Could she get some of that from Ishna? Somehow get some training without revealing that Vale wasn't as skilled as she pretended to be.
Man, that's so cool.
I know.
It's
I love
so
that
cool.
It's all about appearances. Yeah. Eh? It's Yasna's words coming true. It's about appearances.
Mm-hmm. It totally
you
is.
You can't let her know that you don't know
yeah,
as much
as she
does.
Yeah, but maybe I can use her to
right.
teach me without her knowing she's teaching me.
Right.
Yeah, it's awesome.
An idea began to take form. She didn't trust this woman. Nor should she.
No.
I'm going to add that. But then she didn't need to. And if her former Bright Lady really had been killed by the Ghostbloods, perhaps there was a secret to learn there. I have some important infiltrations planned, Vale says. Missions where I need to gather information of a sensitive nature. I can help. What I really need is a support team, so I don't have to go in alone. I can find people for you, experts. I wouldn't be able to trust them, Vale says. I need someone I know is loyal. Well, who? Ishna asks. Vale pointed at Vatha and his men. Ishna's expression fell. You want to turn those men into spies? That, and I want you to prove to me what you can do by showing it to those men. And hopefully I can pick up something too on my own. Don't look so daunted. They don't need to be true spies. They just need to know enough about my work to support me and keep watch. Ishna raised her eyebrows skeptically, watching the men. Shab was picking his nose at the time. That's a little like saying you want me to teach hogs to talk. With promises it will be easy, as they only need to speak Alethi, not Vedan or Hordazian. This is the chance that I'm offering, Ishna. Take it. Or agree to stay away from me. Ishna sighed. All right. We'll see. Just don't blame me if the pigs don't end up talking. And that's the end of our chapter.
Yeah, buddy.
It's really great.
It is really great.
I like this recruitment, and I like that she is trying to turn these men into something else.
Yes.
Give them a purpose. I don't want to just be gambling and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Shallan, tell Brightness that this isn't working for us.
We want to be useful.
We want to be useful.
Vale says, Shallan is really great, has
no
good intentions, but has
right.
no follow through because she gets, wowed by the next little adventure. And
right.
that this is something that Vale can do
yeah.
for these men and for Shallan and her.
Yeah.
Because they do need this group of men to be useful for them. And what better way mm-hmm. than to gather information? Be a network mm-hmm. of spies. Isn't that awesome, dude?
It's really great. And of course, they're loyal.
They're very loyal. Yeah, they'll
loyal.
Do anything for Shallan.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant move, I think, on Vale's part and on Shallan's part.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific highlight for this chapter?
I'm going to say, I guess I'm going to pick Gaz.
Yeah. Gaz is awesome.
Yeah. Gaz is awesome. I'm going to pick him just continuing to be a character
mm-hmm.
as my highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he's
again,
still around.
That he's still around
mm-hmm.
and trying to become something more. He's involved in the story. He's a part of what Brightness and Vale are about to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not a side character necessarily. He's linked directly to the main characters.
Yeah, my highlight is like what you're saying. It's exact, but it's that back
specific
and forth
line.
That they have with the
right
Vale. You tell the Brightness, we ain't good men. Good
we
men, they'll
good
find
men.
Something useful to do with their time. We, on the other hand, might do the opposite. Like it harkens back to what Dalinar said about not there being there's no good men. All you have is me. when he taught, when he sent to Queen Fenn. And I love that. And that it doesn't mean that just because they're not good men doesn't mean that they can't do something for this whole war effort,
right,
for this whole thing, right? So,
right.
Yeah, it's really great. It's just, it's really awesome.
It's really good.
It's really nailing down on a micro level this idea of redemption that we've talked about.
Yeah.
These men are all 100%. Looking for redemption, right?
And 100%.
It's awesome. It's so great. Yeah, so that's the end of the chapter. Yeah. We don't have time to do the list of patrons. We are going to quickly do the info dump here. But we don't really have time to do the other stuff that we normally do, unfortunately, everyone. We'll try to get to it next episode. so chapter 39, thanks again to Buzzkill Joe for all the work he does on the info dump. Info dump. There's a couple of things here I want to point out that he wrote for us. The dark spot that the Stormfather talks about over Kolinar is, you know, hammering down that there's something other than just a revolt in Kolinar. There is something that is stopping
this little black spot on Roshar today.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But that there is definitely something going on in Kolinar that is not, that is more than just rebellion and war, the
riots,
Spanreeds, a dark spot in the visions. There's something going on. So it's like giving us little nuggets for the future here. I love that Yasna says, the real problem is that these things can just be reborn all the time. Right.
Right.
And,
so eliminate their hosts.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately it's something that they had to talk about, but, that they, that
it's
Kaladin,
like, it's
didn't
like
really
a virus.
Like. It really is. It just, it won't stop. Right.
Yeah.
And even, it's even worse now because now they can be reborn within that storm. Right. So,
right.
Yeah. So normally they would go back to damnation, but now they can just be recycled back into the whole war effort again. Yasna implied that in order to be a full Radiant, you had to have armor, which is a nice little benchmark for us to keep our eye on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome. And then in chapter 40, we got a new name of Shallan's guard named Zendid. It was the first time we ever got this name. So it was just another one of these men that were that went unnamed before, but then now, and we know that Sanderson likes to then, you know, give a name to a character and then that character becomes something a little more in the story. So let's keep our eye for Zendid. Maybe he'll be kind of a little more important later. House Hammeradin is a new name that we got too. That's within Vama's court. So, you know, it would have been like one of these lower, you know, bright lords that lived somewhere in his like area of Alethi, right? Or of Alethkar. So we got all kinds of different information about the Sons of Honor, which we kind of knew, but it all kind of got condensed in that letter, which is really great. We finally find out that the Skybreakers have a larger part in this than we expected. He's got
didn't
here
break their oaths.
Mm-hmm. He's got here that he wanted us to talk about, and we already did, about the Skybreakers having had records showing that the only member of Amaram's army to have bonded a spren was long since eliminated. So he really wanted us to kind of like make sure that we pointed that out. We did talk about that quite extensively. So I love this game that you said that you love too, called Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get an actual you know, box set of that sometime. Maybe Dragonsteel will develop that. It sounds really fun.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that's it for the info dump. Thank you so much to Buzzkill Joe for doing all the hard work of preparing these notes. We really appreciate it, dude. yeah, so that's the end of the episode. If you want to be part of the Patreon team, you can go to patreon.com/heroesof. That'll get you a Discord link. It'll get you all kinds of different things depending on the tier that you pick. We are very excited to be welcoming new people all the time, and the chats just keep coming, so that's really, really fun for us. If you want to reach out to us, you can do so at heroesofacathra@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter @heroesofone, on Instagram @thestormpod, and don't forget to join the subreddit @thestormpod and the Facebook page @thestormpod. So right before we go, Jack, we're going to do a little something to get you piqued and interested in the next part.
Oh.
We're doing three chapters next episode.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. We're doing three chapters. And
are you insane?
I want you to turn the page to the next chapter, and I just want you to read the
right
first
now?
Right now, I want you to turn to the chapter and I want you to read the very first word, not the epigraph, but the first word of the chapter.
Okay. I read the first word of the chapter. Chapter 41.
Chapter 41.
On.
Okay, that's the name of the chapter. I'm actually talking about the actual chapter.
Okay. The actual chapter, the first word is Teft.
Okay, now close the book.
Oh, boy. What's this called? On the ground, looking up.
You finally get...
Wait a...
A Teft POV.
Oh.
You've been waiting now to find out what's going
on
with Teft.
I've been waiting and waiting. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. That's my highlight now. Is you getting me to do that? Well, technically, it doesn't belong to this chapter.
No.
But okay, wow. Wow. Well, yeah. The highlight for this episode is that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to like give you little niblets to make sure that you want to read the next
gosh.
One. So.
Wow, wow, wow. On the ground looking up.
Yeah.
Like in defeat.
Oh, well, we'll see. Well, we don't know, but we'll see.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I'm so excited for next episode.
Yeah,
thanks.
Me too. All
That's
right,
great.
Everyone. We thank you very much for listening. We love you very much. Until next time.
Take care, everybody.
The Storm Pod is brought to you by Heroes of. Music and theme song by Jack Forrest Productions. Additional music by Jason Moray. Produced by our wonderful Patreon team, and the Heroes of Akathra.